And we are going to be looking at chapter 5. We only have tonight's lesson and the next week's lesson to finish off our series. And tonight is a lesson dealing with shepherds. As Peter addresses elders, pastors, and overseers in chapter 5. By way of introduction, let me mention that the Bible uses three terms. And I've shown a chart before and have one. I didn't put it on the PowerPoint. But three terms to describe the same office. We might think about it like I am a father, a preacher, and I am a husband. It's all describing me, but there's three different designations. Well, the Bible uses three different designations to describe the office, the work. And really, more than an office, it is a work, it is a ministry that's given to what we call elders or overseers or pastors. And in our context here this evening, we're going to notice that all three of those terms, either in a noun or a verb form, will be used. It's also going to be the case that in Acts chapter 20, all three terms are going to be used to the same group of men. By way of introduction, again, before I move into the text, let me mention that we also find that when these men are in a church, that there are always a plurality of them leading a church. We never find that there is one elder, one bishop, one overseer, or one pastor set up over the church in the New Testament. But rather, for example, in the book of Acts, when Paul went around, he appointed elders at every church. The church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul greets the elders and deacons of the church. And in 1 Timothy and in Titus, Paul gives qualifications to set up elders and deacons in the church, or in the churches. And also, I think it's important to mention that we never find in the New Testament, we never find them having authority above the local congregation. And so, it's important to note that a group of elders or a single elder or a single bishop is not over a collection of congregations, but rather it's always a local congregation that they lead and they have the authority over. And obviously their authority never supersedes the authority of Christ. Now, that's the overall New Testament discussion. But we're going to zone in on 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to notice four characteristics and descriptions here given of holy shepherds and what shepherds should have if they're going to be holy. Peter gives some important advice and counsel to Christians regarding their shepherds. God wants the flock and the shepherds to get along. It seems that creating tension between a flock and its shepherds is one of the great tools of Satan. If it's one thing for there to be problems between members, but it's another thing if there are problems between the eldership and members, so that there is tension and division either within the eldership or between a large segment of the flock and the eldership. Satan loves those situations. He loves to bring about that division and that strife. And of course, Peter here wants to teach to keep that from happening. The metaphor runs deep, and it's another lesson for another time, but the metaphor runs deep in Scripture of understanding the leaders of God, of God's people as shepherds. God in Psalm 23 is described as the shepherd of his people. And throughout the Old Testament, the leaders of Israel were described as shepherds. And many times they did not do well with their work as shepherds. And they were faithless shepherds. And they were even had the flock taken away from them, for example, sent into captivity and things, because they weren't the kind of shepherds that they needed to be. And so this metaphor runs deep. And also, it's one that they easily related to, because many of them were shepherds, and they viewed shepherds every day. And so you can picture someone actually tending sheep to really get a better understanding of this passage. Notice the first point we want to make about these shepherds in this passage. is that they are to be an example. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 6, our text, notice it begins by saying, I exhort the elders among you, I as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Notice that the elders rise up from amongst the people. In other words, elders need to be men, and future shepherds and elders need to be men that are from within the church. They have been around the church for a number of years. They know the flock. They know the people. They are from among the people, if you will. They're not an outsider that comes in from some other place and leads the church and doesn't know the church or give dictates and rules to the church from far off. But rather, God designed it so that the shepherds of the flock were to be a part of the flock. They are amongst the flock, and they live and dwell and act amongst the flock. When we think about this next phrase, Peter says that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now, our elders today in the 21st century, they have not personally, physically witnessed the sufferings of Christ like Peter did, but they must be the kind of men that have partaken in the sufferings of Christ, in that they have fully believed in what Jesus did for them, and they have, by their life, lived out a crucified life. Commentators and others think that what Peter is suggesting here is the idea that he himself has suffered for Christ. The kind of elders and shepherds that Peter is saying is, these are men from amongst you who have borne their cross. They're dedicated to Jesus, and they can witness to the power of the sufferings of Christ. And they are a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. So not only are they living out the cross, but they have faith in heaven. They believe and they are longing for that glory that will be revealed. And they have confidence in their salvation. Finally, Peter notes, because of these characteristics, he says, they are to be an example to you. If you look in 1 Peter, after he mentions some other things that we'll notice in a moment, he says at the end of verse 3, but being examples to the flock. Pastors must demonstrate a consecrated life. One of the things that I noted in studying this, if you take and look at Acts chapter 20 as well, where Paul speaks to the elders there in verse 28, he says, pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he has obtained with his own blood. We should not, as we think about setting up elders who are amongst us to be our leaders, and as churches think about that, we must make sure we do not pick men who are selected because of their earthly characteristics. In other words, we don't want to select men, and churches don't want to put men up as their shepherds and pastors just because they're good in business, or just because they're good in leadership, or just because they give a good contribution to the church, or even just because they're faithful in attendance. But notice what Paul says here, that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, I understand, and I would interpret that probably there was more going on in this miraculous age, and maybe the Holy Spirit having some type of actually designating so that they knew who to select. And I'm not suggesting that we have any type of miraculous thing today, but I am suggesting this. All of us need to make sure that we're wanting to be selected and shaped by the Holy Spirit's Word, by the Word of God. And so men that are put in this position are to be examples to the flock. Why? Because they have been influenced by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives within them, because they've been shaped by God's Word. And so we don't select on earthly criteria. And we don't look to our elders because of their earthly criteria.
We are to look to our elders because they have been touched by the Holy Spirit and by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's what makes them examples. And so a man might not be very successful in business. A man might not even have all the leadership qualities that we put up in America. But if they are a man who have surrendered their life to the sufferings of Jesus, if they are a man who has partaken in the glory that will be revealed, if they are a man who have been appointed by the Holy Spirit, then they make great shepherds of the church of God. And so we must keep that in mind, that these men are to be examples. Before I move on past this one, I want to note that from 1 Peter 5 as well, that they are examples and we should look to them as our example. Look at verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders and clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. We need to be humble and we need to look to them as examples. I need to move on, but let us be thankful that we live in a country, in a geographic location, where we're able to have elders in our churches, in Seven Oaks, that we're able to have four men to lead us. You know, a lot of places, especially on mission fields, especially in places throughout America that where the church is weak, there may not be any elders in the churches. They may not have men that are qualified. We need to be thankful that we have men. I'm always reminded of the story that Dr. Edwards told in our missions class. He had been serving in Italy for numerous of years as a missionary. And he said he had one of the preacher students that he had taught and had gone through school for a while and had a pretty good Bible knowledge. And he came up and he asked him what was rather a basic question on the eldership and about qualifications of an elder or something to do with that. And the Dr. Edwards, in talking to him, said something like this: "Well, I'm surprised you don't know that. And, you know, we've studied that. Why?" And he said, "Brother Edwards, you forget I have never seen an elder. Never saw one." We need to be thankful that we have men that have prepared themselves through the Holy Spirit to become elders. But let me say one more thing. Young men, middle-aged men, older men, don't take it for granted for the future. We need men who at a young age, not determine that they're going to be an elder because it's not a position that you just aspire to and determine you're going to achieve, but who begin preparing themselves so if that opportunity and service is needed, they are ready. And so we need to keep in mind that it's something to be thankful for, and it's something we need to always want to keep for future generations of the church so that there can be examples. The second thing we need to know about elders and pastors and shepherds is that a shepherd is to be a servant. A shepherd is to be a servant. One of the difficult things in being a shepherd is that you are both a sheep and a shepherd. Think about that one. You see, elders are both a sheep and a shepherd. They still are a sheep to Jesus Christ, and they're still a sheep in many ways of needing shepherding themselves. I know we've discussed in our leadership class before, who shepherds the shepherds? Who do they look to when they have needs, when they have struggles in their life, or they have prayer requests, or they are going through a difficult time and they need counsel and advice? Well, it seems that one of the things they would want to look to and they need to be able to look to is their other shepherds to provide strength and comfort to them. A shepherd is a servant. Peter says, shepherd the flock of God. The verb form of the noun form, pastor. Shepherd the flock of God. Notice in this passage that it is referring back to John chapter 10, where Jesus is described as the good shepherd. And this whole passage deals with this, but I want to note just a few verses. Look at verses 10 through 15. where Jesus says that, talking about the thief, he comes to steal, but he says, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus was a shepherd that gave himself as a servant. When we spoke earlier about thinking about the Holy Spirit selecting, I was reading on that as well, and one of the things that stuck out to me was that we are not specifically, one of the suggestions was made, was that in the church we shouldn't be so much about training leaders as we should be about training servants. Think about it. That's what a leader in the church is supposed to be, a servant. Put any kind of characteristic you want to talk about, whether you want to talk about godly women, whether you want to talk about preachers, elders, or deacons. If a man or a woman is not willing to be a servant, they're not going to be an effective leader as either in Bible class teacher or as a deacon or as an elder or as a preacher, are they? The quality that Jesus displayed throughout all his ministry was one of service, was one of not a me-first mentality, but a me-last mentality. And so when we think about holy shepherds, when we think about holy shepherds, we think about the idea of someone who is a servant. We need to select and we need to be a servant leader. Servant leader does not always do the service, but they delegate the service and ensure that it's done. Charles Hodge wrote that a great temptation for elders is to do the work themselves. That one of the temptations that an elder faces is to do the work himself and to make good decisions. Now think about that. How would that be a temptation? Well, because in Ephesians chapter 4, one of the main purposes of the church leadership is to equip the body for the work of ministry. A shepherd who is doing his job to his maximum potential is not the one who's doing the work, but is the one who is seeing through his example, through his mentoring, through his love, that the work is being done by others, and it's being done so that every part in the body, every Christian is able to live up to their full potential. And then the pastor, the shepherd, the elders can then focus, as the apostles did, on the work of the word and prayer. And they can be involved in things like shepherding that are involved visiting and counseling and dealing with the issues of the sheep. You see, a shepherd is to be a servant. And one of the greatest ways they serve is by being concerned for souls. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, we realize that shepherds watch out for our souls. Shepherds are more concerned with members than they are programs. They're more focused on the flock than they are what is going on in terms of the program of the church. Their focus is on the sheep. Jesus said he knows the sheep. He knows them by name. The shepherd is a servant. The final thing I want to note about this point here is that Peter says that they exercise oversight as well. At the end of verse 3, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. That's our other term for overseer, which they're called. And so elders also have authority. They have oversight and authority in the church. So they're a servant, And they carry out this authority, just as Jesus carried out his authority, without their own best interest in mind, but with the best interest of the church. I was reading,
and as well as someone was commenting, that elders are not in that position to get their pet programs accomplished. Elders are not in that position so that they can hire and get the kind of preacher they want. Elders are not in that position so that they can choose where the money goes so it goes to their program. Elders are in that position so that they can maturely think about what is best for the Lord's church. What's best for this congregation? Not what's best for me, but what's best for this church and for the Lord's work. You see, their attitude is one of service. Holy shepherds. The third thing I would say about holy shepherds from Peter here, and this is probably the main point that Peter's making, or one of the main points, is that there needs to be an attitude of submission. Notice this phrase, and I put this on the PowerPoint, not under compulsion. They don't serve because they're made to serve, but willingly. An elder needs to be willing, as Paul put it, they need to desire the office. They want to serve. They want to use their talents. Now, it's one they take on soberly. And it's one, as Peter would say here, they don't want to do this for shameful gain. Apparently, at this time, there were those who were wanting to take on the office of a pastor, of a shepherd, of an overseer, in order to make monetary gain. We understand that it's through the New Testament that it's fine for an elder to receive monetary pay for their work. Paul mentions that in 1 Timothy 5:19 and 20, and Peter doesn't forbid it here. But he's saying that's not the reason that you should be a shepherd. That's not the reason they should want to be an elder. He says, but they should do it eagerly and not domineering. Once again, as like I was alluding to earlier, it's not so that they can have their way, not domineering over those in your charge, but rather being an example to the flock. Being an example to the flock. The attitude of the leader is so crucial. It's an attitude of submission. Pastors deserve honor. 1 Timothy 5:19 through 20. And so we must understand that a shepherd has an attitude, once again, that's humble. I think about, before I move on, I want to look to 3 John. Because he represents, we don't know if he was an elder in the church or not, but he represents exactly what a church leader, elder, deacon should not be. And that is the man Diotrephes, who John writes about. And he says in verse number 9, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. Well, he's rejecting the authority of the apostles. He's saying, I wanted to have the church and do it my way. Now, it doesn't matter what position we're in, whether we're a member, a deacon, or an elder. We don't need to have an attitude of, I want to do it my way. But rather, we need to have an attitude of willing to work. And so we don't want to have the Diotrephes complex, where it's about my way or the highway. John says, when I come to the place, I'm going to call his deeds to mind. John's going to take care of Diotrephes. Notice in 1 Peter once again, Peter says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Notice that no congregation should ever be at the mercy of one man. That pastors and shepherds are to not be the problem, but they are to solve problems. Once again, you're getting this impression from 1 Peter that the shepherd is not to be the focus of the problem. He's not to be the one who says, it's always got to be my way. But rather, he wants to work with other men. I think this is one of the big reasons why God required that there always be a plurality of men.
Because if there was one man, it would be a great temptation for that man to have some type of domineering presence. But with there being a plurality of men, it creates this wisdom in numbers. It creates this patience in having to work together. And it creates this natural working against there being a domineering force because there's more than one. And so each are required to be humble.
But I want to mention something here real quickly. Because I'm mainly talking because of our lesson is about holy shepherds. But flock, we have a responsibility to be submissive to them. You know, it's sad that many times churches will put up elders that they respect and that they want to be their leaders. And then as soon as they put them into the office, they will henpeck and second guess and bicker about everything they ask them to do. They put them up to lead. They recognize them and wanted them to serve as leaders. But then as soon as they get in that office and they start working and leading, then they start almost working to undermine their leadership. You see, we don't need to be like that. We need to be the kind of church that is humble toward our shepherds, that treat them with respect and love and understanding they have a very sober duty to watch out for our souls. You know, an eldership is not like a school board.
We don't take our complaints or any other kind of board. We don't take our complaints to them and just expect them to fix everything. An eldership, a group of men, they are shepherds. We are a part of them. They are our leaders in the flock. And so they're not just a complaint board. They're the ones who have the authority and the leadership, and they're the ones we submit to and look to for spiritual guidance. And many times they have things that they're asking us to do or they're leading us in that we may not fully understand. And lots of times it's because we are not even able to understand all the input and the reasons for that decision. But God says, you trust those men. You respect those men. And unless they are doing things that would violate Scripture, that would be, as Diotrephes was doing, rejecting the will of the apostles, then you look to them and you respect them and you be humble toward them.
We need an attitude not only as shepherds, but also as the flock, a sheep of humility. The final thing, and this one's
the last, and really it's not as much a characteristic as it is a reward. And Peter would say in 1 Peter 5 verse 4, but when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Notice that in this context, Peter refers to the idea that Jesus is the chief shepherd and elders are the under shepherd. So they are carrying on the work of Jesus as a shepherd. And when the Lord returns, they will receive a reward.
You know, we often don't think about the stewardship that they have to keep the faith in the church, to make sure that sound doctrine is taught, is maintained, to the concern they must have for souls, the constant dealing with other issues, and then the need and the responsibility to be shepherding and caring for the flock. An elder has a great stewardship, and oftentimes they don't get much reward here. If a church grows, who typically gets the praise?
If a church over in Paducah starts really growing, or a church in Graves County starts growing, what do people say? Well, they're really growing. They got some good ministers over there. Boy, their preacher, their youth ministers, they've got a good... Do you often hear people say they are really growing because of those elders? Now, let's think about it. It's not... Most people don't give the praise to the elders. But let's just flip the coin a little bit. Say a church in Paducah or Graves County is having problems. Church is having problems. Boy, they're struggling. Sad to see. Who do we blame it on? Oh, sometimes it's the preacher's fault. But most of the time, if it is the preacher's fault, part of the blame is also going to go up on who? Those elders. Well, you know, they're struggling because of those elders. They're just making some bad decisions. I don't know what those elders are thinking. You know, we need to be careful with that. But think about that. Preachers and other people get the praise. Elders get the problems and the criticism. They don't get enough credit. Their wives do a lot and often don't get recognized or appreciated. Thank an elder's wife for all that she does. Thank an elder for all that they do. You see, it's often a thankless job that doesn't have an earthly reward. But God says you will be rewarded in eternity. It's a great incentive. You don't serve for filthy gain. You don't serve out of any type of notoriety here on this earth. You serve because of the Lord. But if you do that, you will have a reward.
Holy shepherds. We need to appreciate our elders here. They're not perfect men, but they're good men. They're not perfect shepherds, but they're good shepherds. They're wanting to grow and develop and be all they can be for the Lord. They don't focus, I believe, upon their own individuality. They focus on what's best for the church. They're holy men. And we need men in the future who are going to want to step into these positions and to lead. We need deacons who want to be deacons and serve in those capacities. We need our deacons now to be deacons. We don't need deacons to want to elder, and we don't need elders to want to be deacons. In other words, we need everybody to do their roles. And so each of us as a church need to be committed to the future of the church and the leadership of the church. Holy shepherds, men of examples, men of servants, men of a great attitude, and men that will receive a reward. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you want to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.